couple of weeks ago, we began a series that I didn't really title it for you, but you can kind of see it in your bulletin there a little bit, exploring the new vision that we have for our church. And if you recall, that first message had a lot of to do with the what ifs of life here at the church. What if we actually took this Christianity thing, we took faith, we took life in this community seriously, and did something more with it? What if we invited people in? What if we lived out what Jesus calls us to live out? What would that look like? Could you imagine standing room only on Sunday morning? Can you imagine GLC groups overfull, to the extent that we need to add more, 20 times more than what we have here? What would happen if every one of us went out and in the grace of Jesus Christ touched 5, 10, 20, 100 lives for Him? What if we expected God to do great things and He did? We asked a lot of those questions, and we explored the vision, which you can read on the top of the front of your bulletin. But if we believe that we are a church here at Argyle Road Baptist Church, existing to embrace people and to equip them to become Spirit-led apprentices of Jesus Christ. And there's a lot within that, and we're spending the next several weeks over the fall exploring just what those parts mean. And the end goal for us is to say that every single person who walks into this building, who calls this church home, in either it's my first time or I've been here for 100 years, and if anybody says they've been here for 100 years, we're going to talk about lying, because the church has not been here for 100 years. All right, but you know what I'm saying? Get there and say, what if the end goal for all of that is that we would all be Spirit-led apprentices of Jesus Christ, which sounds really nice, doesn't it? That sounds like a nice phrase, a good churchy Christian phrase, right? But what does it mean to be an apprentice? What does it mean if that's where we're wanting to go? And last week we began to explore that. We said an apprentice is someone who is training under a master in a skill, a trade, an art, a craft, or whatever sort of it happens to be. Someone who is learning from a master. And we looked and said one of the ways that we need to do that, that we first do that as apprentices, is to actually look and see what is it that the master is doing. And so we looked to scripture last week, and there's a lot of things that Jesus did. And we could spend months talking about all the different things that Jesus did, but identified three things that were foundational and core practices to Jesus' ministry here on earth. And the first one is that, and we look at what did Jesus do. The first thing that Jesus did was He met with a group of 12 people. And He engaged with them and He invested in their lives, teaching them the deeper things of God. And so we looked at that. That's what we want to do here. We want to emulate that. We want to model that here at our church. We have GLC groups to do that. And then the second thing that we looked, does anybody remember what the second thing was that Jesus did? No? There's three. I know there is three. Do you remember what the third one was? This is the test. Bet you didn't expect a test. He did invest in three close friends, which is the next spin from engaging with the 12, and then He invested deeper in those three close friends, right? The second thing that I talked about is He engaged with the unchurched, right? He met people. He met, now this is scandalous. This is the stuff that made everybody in the religious world at the time just so angry with Jesus, because He went outside of faith, and met with and ate with and sat down with and befriended sinners and tax collectors. He went to the people who needed Him. He didn't stay at church. He went out and He said, I'm going to meet with these people who need to hear about me. And remember the story of Zacchaeus. He's walking down the street. Zacchaeus up in a tree, and He says, hey, Zacchaeus, what are you doing up there? It's like lunchtime, dude. We're going to your place. And scandal broke out. And all through scripture, we hear of Him sitting down and meeting. And we talk about how do we do that in a way that fits our busy lives. We said, well, we all eat. And if we are like me, forget to do that. We all have coffee. And I never forget my coffee. And so we can have coffee with people and just introduce them to Jesus. Share a meal. Right? And the third thing that we talked about was that Jesus had a global vision. Right? Remember that? He had a global vision. That is, he came to earth not just for that little tiny pocket that was there. He came for all of humanity. We talked about how if we are going to look and do that, we need to think beyond just our own little circle, something beyond ourselves, something that is so much beyond ourselves that we can pour ourselves into it. It's going to impact the global world around us, but we need God's help to engage and do it. And that fits into the holy discontent in some ways that we were talking about in August over the summer. And Betsy's working on, the missions committee is working on something down that road to push some of that with refugees. And there are other ways. Options Pregnancy Center. Engaging a global idea beyond the church, these church walls. So that's what Jesus did. And we can model that and we can look and say, okay, I can go and I can do what Jesus did. But the problem, the next step is then how do I know if that's what Jesus wants for me? So this morning we're going to look at three things. We're going to look very carefully at another idea, another area of being an apprentice. And it's a common sense idea, but in practice it's not so common. And the idea is that we should actually talk to and listen to the person we're trying to be like. Right? It makes sense, but it's not so easy and it's not so common to do that. When I was spending time at Dallas Valley Ranch Camp as a cabin leader, I had the privilege of leading a wrestling skill. And don't laugh. I was a scrawny wrestler, but I could still do that. And it was always interesting to me to watch the skill, because there would be your group of boys and there'd be your group of girls, and the boys would all coming in, wrestling and going around and stuff like that. I'd say, great, I'm going to toss these kids on their heads. It's going to be awesome. And the nurse is going to have a lot of work to do. And they don't do the wrestling skill anymore at the camp. I'm not sure if that's my fault or not. But anyways, and the girls are all timid at it, and girls, whatever. What was neat that I saw through this is the girls would always excel in this skill. And why is it? They're not stronger. They're not faster. No offense. But at that age group, they're not. And, they're not more rambunctious or aggressive or anything like that. It's because they listened. When I said, this is how you execute this move. You want to shoot for that leg? This is how you do that. They actually listened. Because they didn't walk into it with the preconceived notion that they already knew how to wrestle properly. The boys, on the other hand, thought they knew it all, didn't pay attention to a word I said. At the end of the week when we held mock matches, it was awesome to watch the girls just wipe the mat with these young bucks. It was fantastic. But they listened and they asked questions. And that's the first thing, that's what we are looking at doing this morning, talking about how do we listen and ask questions of Jesus, as we learn to be an apprentice of Him. The first thing that we need to sort out as we do this is to understand the shepherd's voice. God has a voice. Have you heard God's voice? Yes. Some of you have. Some are maybe not too sure if I have. I think maybe I have. Some of us, nope, never heard Him at all. God has a voice. And it is a voice that we all know. If we are His children, if you have faith in Jesus Christ, you know instinctively and built into you God's voice. How do I know this? Because the Bible tells me so. Oh, the great phrase, right? John chapter 10. Let's pull this up here. John chapter 10, in a familiar passage that goes on. John chapter 10, he's talking about the good shepherd, right? Are we familiar with that idea? John chapter 10, verse 2, he says, "The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep," get this, "listen to his voice." Right? They listen to his voice. "He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out." Now let's stop for a minute. Culturally at that time, you had a big giant community pen. And so there's a whole bunch of sheep in one pen. Some of them are mine, somebody else's, and away we go, and stuff like that. So the shepherds would come in, and they would say, "Yo, sheep, come this way." And their sheep would listen. The rest of them would run away or fall down, because sheep are silly that way, you know. And that's what the image that's going on here. So the shepherd comes in, calls his sheep by name, calls them, and they follow him. He leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. Are you catching that? The sheep, we are the sheep, know his, that is the shepherd's, voice. And then we skip down just a little bit further here. Verse 14 says, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. Let me spell this out for you. I am that shepherd. It is my voice that you are hearing. I know my sheep. I know you, Jesus says. And my sheep, that is you, know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. You can read the rest of that and fill in some of the blanks. But the point that I'm making there is, if you say, well, I don't know God's voice, I will never hear him because I do not know his voice. He has a voice that you as his sheep know. God does not just speak. Jesus is not just speaking to the prophets. He's not just speaking to pastors. He's not just speaking to Bible college students or to Bible teachers or anything. He's speaking to you, you. And he longs for you to hear his voice. And respond to it. Now, sheep are special. If you've ever worked with sheep, I haven't. But I went to school with a guy who did. So, close enough, right? And in order for the sheep to be familiar with the shepherd's voice, the shepherd would have to talk to the sheep all day long. Right? And it makes sense too, right? Not just sheep, but all this, right? If the more you hear someone's voice, the more familiar you become with it, and you gravitate towards it, it's a comfortable place. Go back to children. Our kids especially are younger, and they're hurt, and they're upset, or they're whatever, and they're crying, and some random person picks them up and says, there. What are they gonna do? Cry louder, because that's not a voice they know. But when mom, or dad sometimes, picks them up and says, there. There's peace. There's comfort. Because there's a voice they know. And Jesus has that voice for us. And so the first thing we need to do is we think about how do we communicate with Jesus is we need to understand and recognize that he has a voice and you each know it. You just don't know it. If that makes sense. And so then we need to move on. God's got a voice. That's fantastic. We'll still acknowledge that we haven't necessarily heard it. Then the next thing we need to acknowledge and recognize is that God is in fact speaking. All the time. That's our next point. God is speaking all the time through the world, all over the place. We are just not necessarily listening to it. A lot of people would say that God doesn't speak today because he only did so in biblical times. We read in the Bible, he's talking to the prophets, he's talking to Moses, he's talking to Abraham, all these people. He doesn't speak today. That was a then thing, and now there's no God's voice. So, fair enough. But I would submit that line of thinking is wrong. Right? And I go to the Bible to find that support for me. Now, in the book of Job, Job has a friend. He doesn't have good friends. Just acknowledge that. Job doesn't have good friends. But he's got one friend, Elihu. He's an okay friend. And at the end of Job, we're talking chapter 33, Elihu is beginning to chastise Job a little bit for some of the silly things he's starting to say. And God's really going to tear into Job a little bit later. But Elihu comes up and he's saying a whole bunch of things. And in verse 14, he says this, "For God does speak." Because Job is asking the question, where is God? God's not talking. And Elihu says in an emphatic, right now, for every time going forward, there's not a past, it's a right now, exactly. God does speak. Now one way, now another, though man may not perceive it. Right? God does speak, and he uses a lot of different ways to do that. There's dreams, there's visions, there's actual audible voices. He speaks through other people. He is speaking today. John chapter 16, which I read a little bit earlier here, says that the Holy Spirit is speaking to us on God's behalf. Now, this is a really neat word image that Jesus gives us in John. And I'm not sure if you caught it or you spent a lot of time working with it. But here's this picture. You got God the Father and you got God the Son sitting there. They're having a conversation. You can picture this sort of thing. You know, Jesus up there on the right hand of the Father and they're talking and having a conversation. Do you know who they're talking about? They're talking about us. They're talking about the world, talking about people. And in amongst that conversation, my name pops up. Your name pops up. And the Holy Spirit is sitting there listening to this whole thing. He is eavesdropping on the conversation and turns around. Jesus tells in John chapter 16, turns around and tells us that conversation. Hey, Ryan, guess what Jesus just said about you? You're going to like it. Hey, Ryan, guess what God just said? About, hey, you know what? God's talking about this. Let me pass this message on to you. It's not stuff the Holy Spirit is making up. He's just passing on what he is hearing in that conversation. Words for us today. Not past. Not something that's not happening anymore. But today, God is speaking. And if God is speaking today, then why don't we hear him? There's two problems, two things. The first thing for that is that we do not believe he is speaking. All right? I refuse to acknowledge that God is speaking, therefore I will not hear him. It's like the small child who says, I can't see you, therefore you can't see me. Doesn't make it right, but I sure can't see anybody. Right? That's one problem. Okay? That's one thing. The second problem that comes into it is that we don't let God get a word in edgewise. Does that sound? Let me wonder, is this familiar in your prayer life? Sit down. I'm a sitter. I'm not really a kneeler. I got bad knees. And sit down, begin to pray. Lord, yep. I need a word from you, so I'm just going to sit here and quiet and oh, I'm sorry. No, I'm with this God. You know, about that thing that I was praying about, and you know, these days are not happy days are happy. Oh, where did that song come into my head? How did that? No, sorry, Lord, we gotta. And then, oh man, you know what? I didn't fix the light over there. The other, so sorry, God, I'm really listening. You know, I'm sorry. You know, does that anybody?
Yes.
Yeah, we're there. Yes. Yep. Or how about this? Where we sit down, and we pray. We say, I got 3 minutes. Okay, I got 5 minutes worth of stuff to tell to God, and we dial him up. Deep, 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 deep. You know, I often talk, you know, we dial and hang up with God, right? You phone him up, and this is kind of how we treat God in our prayers. We dial him up and we say, you know, it's almost as though we hear on the other side of that prayer communication, you've reached the personal voicemail of God. I'm unable to answer the phone right now, but if you leave a message with, you know, time and date that you called, I'll be happy to get back to you. And we leave the message. Right, God's just Ryan calling. I got these things that you need to sort out. Thanks for letting me and hang up. Boop, and away we go. And to really wreck our vision of God here a little bit and make you wonder where my sanity is, we'll take this a step further. And God is on the other end trying to fumble past the answering machine or voicemail to actually pick up the phone. And just as he says, hello, Ryan, I got it. We're going, boop, click like that. And we say, well, man, God, you're just not hearing me. You're not talking to me. And God is up there going, you don't let me. You don't give me a chance. How can we possibly hear? How can we possibly believe that God speaks when we don't let him answer? Leads me to my final thought. It is okay, and we need to give ourselves this permission. It is okay to ask Jesus anything. Now, often we take that, that Matthew passage that I read, ask and you shall receive, seeking you shall find, knock and the door will be opened to us. We take that and say, fantastic, ask, great, I want a Maserati. You know, we ask for stuff. But what if in our daily lives, in our church lives, in our ministry lives, in our group lives, in any aspect of our lives, we actually stopped and said to Jesus, Jesus, what do you want me to do in this? Now, sometimes we're pretty good at this. Big decisions. We just bought a house. A huge decision. And one of the things, you know, Neil's constantly telling us as we worked with him, he said, you know, take this, go home, pray about it, and come back. Big decision. We don't want to make this on our own. So we pray about this, right? And we ask God, Jesus, what do you want us to do on this? And we go, but the little things in life, or the things that we think we already know the answer to, we don't ask Jesus. He's a busy guy. We don't need to ask about that. So we go off and we do what we want to do, and we wonder why that doesn't always work out for us. It's because Jesus didn't want us to do that in the first place, but we didn't give him a chance to tell us. Would make a pretty poor apprentice if I'm working with plumbing or electrical. And I don't need to ask whether I should turn off the breaker before I start fumbling around with these fuses. It's no worries at all. You know, I'm going to hurt myself. And you know, the master is saying, if you asked, I would have told you, turn that switch off first. This wouldn't have happened to you. But now it has, and you wonder why it went bad. Because you didn't ask. And we need to take this approach. We need to take the approach that in everything we do, we should be inquiring of Jesus. And he will answer. Often, he will answer before we finish the question. He knows what he wants for us. Jeremiah lays it out. He says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, right? I got the plans. It's right here. Ask me the question. Here we are. Jesus, do you think? Yes! Go do it! Jesus, we're wondering, but no! Don't even think about it. Great, got my answer. But what if we are unfamiliar with his voice? What if we are still struggling with that? What if we're not 100% sure? You know what? Ask someone else. Go to someone who you know hears God's voice and say, you know, I'm wrestling with something. I think God's telling me about it, but pray about this. I'm not going to give you details. I'm not going to tell you anything about what I'm thinking. Pray about this. Ask Jesus, what do you hear him saying? And let that person come back to you. Check that. Test it. A friend of mine was wrestling with he'd been offered an opportunity for a couple of trips, and he could choose one or the other, and wasn't sure whether he should do them because it was a bad time for his family and finances and all sorts of things like this. But he felt God was maybe telling him he should take one of these. And he said, oh, okay. So he goes to his friend. And he says, I got these vacation options. Can you ask God what I should do about this? And the friend comes back and says, I think God's telling you, I don't care what the trip is. I think God's telling you to do this trip over here. It was a golfing trip, by the way, which is a great, wonderful thing, completely not ministry related. And he said, oh, well, that's good. Turns out God had prepared that trip for this person to renew and rejuvenate him at a time when he most needed it, and provided the funds for that trip to actually happen in an unexpected fashion, because that was the plan. So my buddy, he said, I'm not sure if I'm hearing, if I'm just being selfish. Get someone else to speak into that, to ask God for you and with you. But we need to ask. If we do not ask, we will not learn. If we do not learn, we cannot be good apprentices of Jesus Christ, knowing what his plans are and what he has for us. Listen to him. Ask him again. Get clarification. God's pretty patient. He'll work with us on that. Take the time. And remember that as we need to hear from Jesus, he wants to hear from us just as much, so that we would recognize his voice. Let's pray together.